In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as you know, I've been, as they say in Minnesota, up north. And I heard a couple of things about Ole Olsen while I was up there. A couple of stories. You'll be proud to know this, Dick. Apparently, Ole went back to the old country, to Norway, to do a little hiking. And so he was up on the mountain and 1,000 feet down in a fjord to drop off, but Ole's foot slipped on a wet rock and he went over the edge. But about 20 feet down, he was able to catch hold of a scrubby little tree growing out of a crack in the rock. And he was hanging on for dear life. And Ole looked up and said, "Is there anybody up there?" And a big voice came down from heaven saying, "It is the Lord. I am with you. Trust me. Let go." Ole looks up and says, "Is there anybody else up there?" I think the disciples were kind of wondering that today, and the familiar story of Jesus stilling the storm. Jesus was asleep in the boat, and I think they were wondering, is there anybody else out here? Because he doesn't seem to be doing much. We're in trouble, and there's no saving us. You know, what good is he? Water, as I told the kids, is an interesting thing. It's very calming. It's very soothing. We came back. I saw our pond, and I just went, ah. I floated down the river with my brother on a canoe, the Root River in Minnesota, 3-hour canoe trip. It was fantastic. The water was beating down on the roof of the porch at Greg's in Wisconsin. It was just so soothing. His little pond and the stream running down to it. Water is really, really calming and soothing. And yet, water is fearsome and it is dangerous. And if you've been watching television, watching the floods in Texas wash cars away and bridges out and everything else, you know that that's true. If you've ever been out in a storm in a boat and thought, I might not get back, you know what that means. Water is a fearsome thing. And in the Old Testament, the deep is often a synonym for chaos in life, fearfulness. So the disciples were out in the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is a rather shallow lake, but it has storms that come up real quickly because they blow out of the desert. The desert storms, they blow in, sweep up down the ravines, and really can roil up that sea. Jesus and the disciples are headed in a boat to the other side. Jesus has had it. He has been going at a breakneck pace. If you ever want to see Jesus with attention deficit disorder symptoms, read the Gospel of Mark. Because the favorite word is immediately. And immediately he went here. And immediately he healed him. And immediately he preached over here. And immediately he taught here. And he's just always going like that. Jesus is headed. He's asleep in the stern of the boat on a cushion. He is sleeping the sleep of the dead. A storm can't wake him. And finally the disciples are getting scared. And they aren't. A lot of these guys are professional seamen. They're fishermen. So they don't scare easy. But they're scared. Because the boat's swamping. It's going down. So finally they manage to wake Jesus up and say, "Master, don't you care that we are perishing?" That messianic indifference that they saw in him. "Don't you care that we are perishing?" And Jesus wakes up and says, "Be still. Storm is calm." That's it. Now at this point, we've heard this text often enough to know that storms are dangerous and tornadoes and things like that, but we probably know enough that we're supposed to spiritualize this text and say, what other kind of storms might there be in life? And so, yeah, let's do that. There are storms in the church. The storm of living in the post-Christian era when there are more people who think that it's not a good idea to be religious than there are who think it is a good idea. Storms in the church of who should be in the church, who's acceptable in the church. How do we know that that's okay? Storms in the church, the one I think is the most dangerous, the storm of pettiness. You know, that little things mean too much in the church. What? The color of the carpet is gold? What? I'm quitting. You know, just out and out blatant pettiness. That's a storm in the church too. There are storms that are personal. Should I stay in this abusive relationship? Am I going to have a job next month? It doesn't look good. What's wrong with these grandkids? You can't figure them out. what can I do with these aging parents? They're getting to be more than I can handle. What should I do with my life? I don't seem to have purpose. What is going to fall apart next on my body? You know, all of these are personal storms that we run into. And at that point, we are tempted, like the disciples, to say, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? And we remember the response of Jesus, who said, do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? Peace, be still. And the storm was complete. The sea was like glass. And if the disciples were afraid of the storm, they are more afraid now after Jesus does this. And they say, who is this then that even the winds and the waves obey him? It's one thing for Jesus to turn a storm inside out, but what might he be able to do with me? That's the question, and that's the fear. If we turn God's Spirit loose on us, what might he do? You never know. I think that for us, I mentioned this on Pentecost Day, and it's still the season of Pentecost. I think it's still true. I think that the problem for us is not that we don't believe in the power and might of God and the power of God's Spirit. I think it's that we do believe. Guys like me sometimes fuss at people for not having enough faith and so forth. But I'm not sure that's the issue. I think we do believe in God's majesty and his power. But we might be a little bit afraid to turn that loose. You know, you can never tell what God might do. C.S. Lewis, Christian author, Chronicles of Narnia fame, C.S. Lewis one time wrote, letting the awesome power of God loose in your life is kind of like remodeling your house, except God is the remodeler. And where you just wanted to add a little gable somewhere, God added a whole new wing on this side and another wing on the other side and put in big windows where there was just a blank wall and has got, you know, he turned the whole thing into a palace. And you and he are going to dwell there. I think that the fear is if we turn God loose, he might do things in a way that we don't like, something a little more than we had bargained for if we turn God's Spirit loose. So we kind of have a plan, I think, for our life. This is how I want my life to go. This is what I want it to do. And if I can get God to come in and help me out on some of those things that I want, that's good. Otherwise, you know, he should kind of keep his hands off of it. So if we have a picture of our life, if we hand over the crayons to God, the fear is he might color outside the lines and might do things that we're not quite ready for. Jesus' stilling of the storm tells us that water is powerful. It can be calming and soothing. It can be threatening. And we look at our baptismal font and we put water in there some Sundays for baptism. And it looks very innocuous, very calm. But when we invite God's Spirit into a person's life in baptism, when we remember our baptisms, you never know what kind of power might be turned loose. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.